I invite you to look into your bulletin, and you'll find three verses that we're going to be reflecting on today. I'm continuing this series on the principles of congregational life, and we've so far reflected on the picture of community, the nature of community, the makeup of community just last week, and then this week we're starting into under the heading of the practice of community. What does community look like, practically speaking? The plan is to spend several weeks on this topic, the practice of community, and we're going to spend our time in this time reflecting on the one another's of Scripture. The word one another occurs exactly 100 times in the New Testament, and of those 100 times, 59 of those occurrences are commands that teach us how we are to relate to one another. And as one writer said, these one another commands form the basis for all true Christian community and has direct impact on our witness to the world. End quote. What that means is that these one another's really describe very practically for us what community is to look like. It describes for us the practice of community. You might be interested to know that more than a quarter of these commands address unity, which goes to show how divided we tend to be. And another quarter addresses the issue of love, which goes to show how selfish we tend to be. Today, we're reflecting on the command of honoring one another. Honoring one another. So I'm going to read these three verses. Listen to God's word. They will bring joy to your heart. They will restore your soul. They will set you free. John 13:14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Romans 12:10. Honor one another above yourselves. And actually, this was my fault, but I somehow got the NIV translation in there, which is good. But the ESV, I like the way it words it. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then Philippians 2:4. In humility, value others above yourselves. This is God's word. May he use it to build us up together in love. One of the largest companies in the world is a company called Alphabet, but we know it as Google. Google has their fingers in just about every aspect of technology. Google started out simply as a search engine to just search the internet, and today it's expanded well beyond that. But today, if you go to google.com, you find that it's a very simple page. It doesn't have any ads, no promotions, no stories right there. It's just the search engine. You type your search in. There's just the search engine, except for one thing. Periodically, you'll find on this page something that's called a Google Doodle. And so very early on in the existence of Google, the website introduced a Google Doodle, which is a cartoon that commemorates or honors either an event or a person. And so that means that on this very simple page, instead of displaying the greatness of Google and their influence in the world, Google uses their broad platform to influence the world in order to display the greatness of someone else. They use their influence to display the greatness of someone else. Most of the time, these Google Doodles they honor someone I've never heard of. Most of the time, the latest was Marie Popeland, a lawyer and champion for women's rights in the late 1800s. Another was Arthur Lewis, a British economist and winner of the Nobel Memorial Prize in 1979. Now, of course, each one of us would have a different list of people that we might tend to honor. But what impresses me about this is that great Google, instead of declaring the greatness of Google, they use their influence in the world to honor another, to honor a lesser known hero. They are giving honor. Well, here within the church, within the Christian community, we are called to outdo one another in showing honor. And what that means is that the home page of our lives isn't meant to be used to display your greatness or to expand your influence or to get the praise of people, but rather you're to use your life as a way to honor others. The truth is that our lives are always lit up in honor of something. But the default inclination of our minds is to consider ourselves and to honor ourselves and serve ourselves and promote ourselves and show how great we are. Well, we're urged many times to honor one another, to treat one another as more important than ourselves, to do the humble task of washing one another's feet, and we're to use our lives in order to promote the greatness of one another. We, if we are to live in community the way God calls us to, then let's outdo one another in showing honor. Let's begin by reflecting on this definition, on the definition of honor. What does honor mean? The definition. Well, in the Old Testament, the word for honor is essentially the same word for glory, and so to honor God is the same as to glorify God, and what that means is to really show His greatness, to show the world, to show one another how great God is. But another interesting piece that gives us a little bit of a sense of this word is that it can also, in some contexts, be translated as heavy, like a heavy burden or a stone that's too heavy to move. Glory and honor are associated with this concept of being heavy. And you might wonder how those two things could be related. Well, maybe think about it like this. Do you know who the most awarded singer is of all time? The most awarded singer of all time. Well, of course, it depends on what awards you're talking about. But the American Music Awards, which is really the award for most popular singers. So it's the one I'm going with. Up till 2019, Michael Jackson was actually the one with the most, who won the most of the American Music Awards. But he was recently surpassed by Taylor Swift, who's won maybe now 30-some American Music Awards. Add to that 12 Grammys, 23 Billboard Music Awards, and on actually, by someone's count, she's won 365 Music Awards, which speaks to her greatness. Let's say that each of these awards, these little trophies that she gets, weighs about 5 pounds each, which means the sum total of her greatness is about a ton in awards. That honor is heavy, and it goes to show how great she is. So when we talk about someone honoring someone, you can think of it in some ways like giving them an award. Here's something of weight that I'm giving to you. It's like giving them an award to recognize how great they are, that you would live in such a way that you recognize their importance, that it's taking your seat on the floor so that they can have the chair, or it's taking the role of servant to wash feet. And it's having this mindset throughout your life of considering others as greater than yourself. And so to honor someone is the recognition of their greatness and their importance. So that's the definition of honor, to show their greatness. Now I want to think about the foundation of honor. If we're to genuinely honor one another, to honor one another the way we're called to, the way we're meant to, we have to have the right foundation. And that foundation is the glory of God. You really won't understand the greatness of one another until you understand and promote the glorious greatness of God. In our individual lives, we go through phases where we're really wrestling with our purpose to try to understand what God's calling me to do. So whether you're in college trying to figure out your major or what career path to follow or which opportunity to take, maybe a job change in your life or maybe moving into retirement. In all these phases of life, we're wrestling with our own calling, our purpose. What does God really want me to do? Well, on the most basic level, the question is really easy to answer because your calling and your purpose in life is to glorify God. that you're to live your life in such a way that the world gets to see how great God is. So whether you're a kid or your grandpa, that's what you're here for. It's what we're all here for. And I get that the details can be difficult when you're wrestling with God's leading, but no matter where God leads you, your fundamental purpose in life is to show the world and show one another how great God is. What that means is that before you can adequately recognize the greatness of another, you have to first recognize the greatness of God. That's the foundation to all of life. It's the foundation of this command to honor one another. There's a pastor who wrote an article about this concept and how this concept is eroding away within the church. He talked about this shift from us existing to show the greatness of God to these days God sort of existing to show the greatness of man. In this article, he said he was watching a Christmas special on TV, and it was spectacular and entertaining, and big long program with choirs and effects and bells and whistles. And then right before the finale, there was a speaker who came up, and he spoke, and he said, quote, "The theme of tonight is that God did it all for you." And the writer goes on to reflect on how, in that short message, the speaker made it sound like the world revolved around you. He made it sound like God exists here to show how great you are rather than us existing to show how great God is. Now, of course, it's undeniably true that God has done great things for us, but sometimes we twist it and we shift the whole paradigm as if God exists to glorify me rather than me to glorify God. And when we get that all twisted up, then when we offer our prayer and God doesn't instantly respond, or we snap our fingers calling on God to come running, when he doesn't, we sort of feel betrayed. It's this concept that's really underneath the whole entitlement mentality that pervades our community. God is here to serve me, and if he doesn't, then something's unfair. If he doesn't give me what I want, then something's unfair. Well, it's absolutely vital for us to understand that neither you nor I are at the center of the universe. The world doesn't revolve around us, but God is at the center of all things, and our lives, at the most fundamental level, are simply to show how great God is. As it says in Romans 11, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." If we're to genuinely honor one another, we have to learn first to set first things first, to really glorify God. We have to recognize that he is the creator of all things, that in his great mercy, he sent his son to die for us, to accomplish our salvation. He's the one who exalted us to that place of glory and honor by calling us to be his children and then anointing us with his Holy Spirit to carry us to completion until that day of Christ. He did it all so that we would see how great God is. He did it all for us to see how great God is. So unless we start with understanding the greatness of God, we won't really understand the greatness of mankind then. Mankind is only great because God is great. I remember walking through the airport some years ago, seeing this campaign for women around the world. And each picture was of a woman from a different country and a different culture. And these were women particularly from underdeveloped countries where women's rights were very, very small or non-existent. And on each photo, there was a statement like something like, "I am powerful," or "I am important." And I thought to myself, how could you make that claim without recognizing the greatness of God? These are pictures of women who have virtually no rights in their country, living in poverty, some of them barely eking out a living. These women perhaps are one of the wives of her husband, not given the opportunity for education. In many ways, you would describe her life as a prison. She's stuck, enslaved. How could we attribute power to that position? Humanly speaking, from a worldly perspective, the woman has no power. the statement, I am powerful, is so far removed from reality, it seems like it's just blowing smoke. But as Christians, and only as Christians, can we say that she is incredibly important and incredibly powerful because of the simple reality that she was made in the image of God. And although humanly speaking, she's eking out an existence, she has dignity and honor as an image bearer of God, and that what she does in this life actually has an impact on eternity. And that's power. But you can't understand that until you understand the greatness of God. Only if we first honor God can we truly and genuinely honor one another. Otherwise, we're just sort of blowing smoke. And in many ways, it's empty flattery. If we want to be a community that if we want to be a community that honors one another, we have to be first a community that honors God. That's the foundation of honoring one another. And now to the third piece. The practice of honoring one another. So we have the definition, showing the greatness of others. The foundation of honoring one another is understanding the greatness of God. And now the practice of honoring one another. What does it look like to outdo one another in showing honor? We are given the shocking display of the Lord when he was in the upper room with his disciples. They were celebrating the Passover. It was the night before he would be crucified. As the disciples gathered in that upper room, the custom in that day was that someone would wash their feet. And in that day, everyone wore sandals. The roads were dusty or muddy, and so it was custom to wash feet when you entered the room. But that work was usually done by a servant, a lowly servant. But in the upper room, there wasn't a servant, and none of the disciples were willing to stoop that low to play that role. And so while they were arguing over which one of them was the greatest, and that they shouldn't be the one to wash everyone's feet, Jesus quietly took a bowl, filled it with water, wrapped a towel around his waist, knelt on the floor, and he began to wash their feet. The great God overall honored his disciples, outdid his disciples in showing honor, by taking on the role of a servant. And then after he finished, he said, go and do likewise. When you think of honoring one another or outdoing one another and showing honor, this story should come to mind. Not that you need to literally wash one another's feet, but the idea is that whenever you enter a room, think of yourself as the servant in that room. Consider everyone else as more important than you. Which means that the trash and the cleanup and the pickup and the putting away and the washing of dishes, that should never, ever be hard to find. We should never, ever need that done, because if we're outdoing one another and showing honor, there's a line of people eager to do those things. It's easy to have that mentality that, well, if no one else does it, then I'd be glad to do it. But that's not outdoing one another and showing honor. That's showing honor if no one else shows it first. If we want to outdo one another in showing honor, we have to be the first in line, asking to serve, willing to serve, can I please serve? Now, honoring one another really has to, it's actually really hard to do if there's not this mental shift in your mind, in the focus of your mind. And what I mean is that if your mind is always focused on yourself and how you're coming across and what other people think about you, or in some way trying to show your greatness, wanting to be likable, wanting to receive the praise of others, if that's what your mind is sort of constantly chewing on, it's going to be really hard to genuinely honor another. I remember playing in the Turkey Bowl quite a few years ago. Turkey Bowl, some of you remember it, but it used to be a thing around here. Many of us would gather on the Saturday after Thanksgiving to play some tackle football. We've had a few injuries, which dampened the spirit a little bit, and we haven't had it for a little while. But anyway, after this game, Paul Schaefer, who used to be a member here, he would always write up a commentary of the game, always very entertaining, and he'd send it out a week later. And this one time, this is maybe 10 years ago, 10 years ago or so, one time after church, he came up to me and said, so what were some of the highlights of the game? And I'm going to reveal my heart to you so you know what kind of person I really am. To my great shame, I couldn't think, the only place I could think of were the place that I did. Sad. 24 hours, for 24 hours after that game, I just sort of dwelt on my own greatness and the great place that I made. And I couldn't even think of anyone else, what anyone else did in that game. Paul Shaver never asked me after that, again, what the highlights were in my mind, but that simple question just exposed me for what I am. I spent so much mental energy reflecting, and too oftentimes I spend my mental energy reflecting on my greatness or my performance or my failures even, or how people respond to me, that it's near impossible for me to actually genuinely honor another. If your mind is filled with the cloud of your glory, you're not going to be able to see the greatness of others. There has to be this mental shift in your mind. Outdo one another in showing honor. That takes great humility, which is exactly what we saw in Jesus. He emptied himself. He thought nothing of himself. He was in very nature God, but... And he could have directed any one of his disciples to wash feet, and they would have had to do it. But here, the creator of all things. He is so emptied of himself, so focused on loving his disciples, that he stoops onto the ground, and he washes their feet. He outdoes them in showing honor. We also have to be careful in showing honor for the wrong reasons. There are lots of people in the church who seek to honor someone because of the benefit that gives to them. It's easy to honor someone so that you might get into their good graces. You want to be in their circle of friendship or influence. You honor them because it might benefit you in some way. Or it's easy to honor someone that perhaps might honor you back in some way. Depending on who they are, you seek to honor them so that it's really just a selfish expression of your own desires. And so what we call that is actually favoritism, and it's to be condemned. Jesus warned us about this. He said if two people come into the church and one, you know, is wealthy and pretty and the other is poor and disheveled, we're not to show favoritism, because our tendency is to go to that one who has it all together, because that's the kind of person we want to associate with. That's the one who's going to help us look even better. But when you honor someone with the hopes of getting something from them, it's not honor, it's favoritism and flattery, it's manipulation. Jesus also warned us to not have people over for an ulterior motive. And so he says, when you're having a banquet, don't just invite your friends in the hopes that they're going to invite you back for their party, but you invite those who cannot repay. One is flattering favoritism, the other is genuine honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. What does it look like for you to honor one another? You kids, what does it look like for you to outdo one another? To outdo your siblings in showing honor to one another? What does it look like to honor your parents? What's it look like to honor your boss, your coworkers, to honor one another within this community? What does it look like to honor that person who's holding up a sign at the streetlight? How do you honor someone in a moment? Every life is created with dignity and honor. Let's outdo one another in showing this honor. Now, as we think about how to honor one another, there are specific relationships that God calls us to, that he specifically draws attention to, that we are to honor. By far, the Bible mostly urges us to honor God, to bring glory to God. Second, behind that, we are urged to honor our parents. That's repeated quite a few times in the Scriptures. Wives are called to honor their husbands. We are called to honor our governing authorities. And then we're also called to honor our elders. All specific comments. God draws attention to specific relationships where we are to honor one another. These are the relationships where we're particularly called to be a servant. And it's in these relationships where we find it, oftentimes it's in these relationships where we find it the hardest to take the position of a servant. And not only are we meant to be meant to recognize them as image bearers, but we are also to recognize them as, in some ways, in some form, an authority in our lives. So as a congregation, every one of us lives in these relationships. We live under authority, and we want to honor those who are in authority over us by willingly recognizing them and assuming that a position of a servant. So we're to honor our parents. The fifth commandment says that. Honor your father and mother. And this command is repeated in the Bible. And children, the best way that you can honor God is by honoring your parents. To listen to them, to obey them. You're to honor your parents not because they're perfect, because they're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They're not always going to have the right thing to say at the right time. They're going to lose their temper sometimes. But you're called to honor them happily from the heart, listening to them, serving them. You have the opportunity to show the greatness of your parents by serving them. Of course, as you grow up, honoring your parents changes in various ways, but you're still to honor them all throughout your life, to speak of them with respect, treat them with dignity. Are you honoring your parents? Wives are also called to honor their husbands, and this is one of the toughest ones here. It's tough because with regularity, we as husbands, we don't act very honorably. You wives see the flaws of your husbands far more than anyone else sees them, and yet God calls you to honor your husband, to show respect, to encourage us to be the leaders that we ought to be, and not to have a critical spirit. Wives, how can you honor your husbands? We're also called to honor those governing authorities. In 1 Peter 2, it says that we are to honor the king. Of course, that refers to all governing authorities. We honor them whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, we're to honor them. And so we're to show respect to them, to not slander them in conversation, for it's God who places them in our lives. We're to honor them. You may not have liked the old president, you might not like the new president. You may not like either of these presidents. But whether you like them or not, you're called to honor them. Because of their position. In what ways do you need to do better in honoring governing authorities? We're also called to honor our elders. 1 Timothy 5, we honor our elders not because that they are so great or because of all they do everything perfectly by any means, but because of the position they hold. God's the one who's placed them in this position to serve in the church, and we need you to help us and to serve in this way. And so please encourage us and pray for us and bring things up well. Seek to honor your elders. And then there's actually one more category of people that we are specifically called to honor. In Philippians 2, Paul thanks the Philippians for sending Epaphroditus with him on his missionary journey. After some time, because of health concerns, Epaphroditus had to return back to Philippi, and he tells the church there, he said, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him because he almost died for the work of Christ. We are to honor those who are making particularly big sacrifices in serving the Lord. We all are seeking to serve the Lord. We're all seeking to do that sacrificially, but there are many who are giving their lives in a unique way to serve the Lord, and we're to honor them. As a denomination, we're starting up a ministry to the Muslims in the Middle East, and we have a team that's forming, and they're hoping to serve in a very hostile culture. It's going to be a life of sacrifice, and we're to honor them who sacrifice in this way. We honor such people. We pray for them. We thank them. How can you honor them better? Outdo one another in showing honor. Consider others better than yourself. When you walk in a room, consider yourself as the servant. That's what we're called to do here in this community. And so just as Google seeks to honor some of the lesser known heroes, our lives are to be given to honor and promote the greatness of others. What's the Google Doodle on your homepage? Does it pay tribute to your greatness? Or is your life lived in honor of others? Remember that Jesus, the King of Kings, he knelt on the ground, he washed his disciples' feet, and then the next day he willingly gave himself up to be crucified for us. The greatest demonstration of love, the greatest demonstration that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. He has outdone all of us in showing honor by paying the greatest price for our lives, by giving us, elevating us to the position of children of God. He elevated us with him to the highest place. And so it was his humility that made us great. Since he has so honored us, let us honor one another by outdoing one another in showing honor. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, he wrote that there are no ordinary people in this world. There are no ordinary people in this world. You've never talked to a mere mortal. We are all immortal, everlasting, image bearers of God. Now make it your business in life to display the greatness of others. Let's outdo one another in showing honor, and God will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we confess that too oftentimes we're more concerned about our greatness and showing people how great we are, and that it's impossible to really honor one another. Help us to see your greatness, to be overwhelmed by your greatness. Help us to consider the work that you've done for us in sending Jesus to wash our feet, to die for us, to be a servant. And if you, Lord Jesus, willingly did that, how much more should we be willing to serve? Help us to see how you've honored us and let that motivate us to honor one another. Help us as a community to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and let us outdo one another in this way. We ask it all for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.